would put rags that she used in the garbage, and if we were grinding and a spark went in there, boom, that thing would just go up.
Only happened once.
No, it did happen many times. Yeah, it was, those days were pretty crazy. We had more open electrical boxes and wires that weren't wired on it, marking tape, and people would, probably every 2 or 3 months, would get shot or something. My lung friend came in the warehouse one time and he was just pacing. And he was like in a hyper stage and using a lot of language. And he was white as a ghost. And, oh my God, I just got the shock of my life. Oh my God. And he was like just frantic and had to sit him down and calm him down and could hardly even tame him. And he took 480 off of one of our crackers.
Well, how much does it take to kill you? I'd think that would. We used to live under, well, right next to it. I mean, kids played out underneath it.
We'd be out fishing, like I'd be musky fishing and a storm's coming, and your pole, you put it up in the air and it's going. And you get down and it goes off and it's like, whoa.
Guess it's time to go in, right?
Get off the lake.
You are a lightning rod, huh?
Yeah, that was pretty intimidating.
You need five?
Four.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I guess it's that time, huh? Everybody functioning okay above zero? Yeah. Heat wave out there. We got double digits. Okay, so we're going to be looking here tonight at lesson number 12, Strangling Stress. You might wonder, where in the world did you get a title like that? But there's a reason behind it. We'll see you here in a minute. Okay, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we have together tonight. Pray as we look at this portion of Scripture, it'll be our teacher and guide, and we can find some ways that might be helpful to us to handle stress that comes our way. It's not a matter of if, but it's when. And we pray that, again, we might find principles that would be of help to us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, strangling stress. Philippians chapter 4, verse 2 through 9. We won't go that far, but I've kind of wondered about this strangling stress. I'm using this on the radio, and I better kind of explain that a little bit. You know, removing stress, you know, it's, they might, who knows what people are thinking when you start talking about strangling. But and he doesn't mention it in his notes, but I came across it reading some other material, and the old English the word that we get worry from is the word strangled. So, you know, you stop and think about it. Worry does kind of strangle you, doesn't it? It kind of incapacitates you. And as he says here, stress causes us to do strange things. So we want to somehow back up the bus, see if we can't figure out ways that would keep us from falling into that rut of worry. And I think after a while, it can be just become a habit. You know, it's just something we do. And you don't have to look very far to find things to worry about. So, but here we see here, he talks about four things that we need to do to strangle stress or worry from our lives. Again, the whole book here has been, he's camped on the idea of stress-free living. But it, even as we'll see here in chapter 4, well, the Bible doesn't use the word worry so much, but we'll find it as we get in up to verse 6. That'll probably be next week, but where he says, be careful for nothing. Well, that's just kind of a long way of saying don't worry about anything, okay? Careful is another word. You know, sometimes we know we're not supposed to worry, so we try to use some other word. Oh, I'm not worried. I'm just concerned. Well, yeah, okay, whatever you want to call it, but that's causing you to pace the floor, chew your fingernails. We should have a fingernail check before everybody leaves here today and see how many are down to the quick. Okay, I came across a few things that I'll read as we go along here. One of them was, an antidote for worry is a secure mind. And having the peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Okay, so we need a secure mind. And if we're going to conquer worry, we need to experience that secure mind, and we need to do it on God's conditions, those that he lays down. And this is from another writer, but and we'll, this again is kind of in the next week. But he says three things that we need. We need to have right praying, right thinking, and right living. Okay? And we'll touch on some of that here next week. But you need to do things the right way, you know. And so, again, this is, he's talking to the Philippian church. It's not the perfect church, okay? There is no perfect, you've probably heard that. If you ever find the perfect church, don't join it because you'll ruin it. But, yeah, there, as long as there's people in that church, okay, it's not going to be perfect, okay, because none of us are. So, one of the things that will help us to limit stress in our lives would be to eliminate the conflict. Well, here in Philippians, we find that there's some conflict going on. All right, the names have been changed to protect the innocent, right? But it says, "I beseech you, Euodias and Syntyche, that ye be of the same mind in the Lord." I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with my other fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Okay, so we got two ladies here. We don't know. Well, there must have been, it must have went on long enough and been disturbing enough. It wasn't just something that came and went in a few minutes. It was something that's been brewing for a while that would cause Paul to write the church and say, mention these two ladies by name. Okay? You wonder what these two ladies thought after they get up and they read the letter. It's like, uh-oh. I'm in trouble here. Okay? But yeah, there were some disagreements of some kind. Again, we don't know all the details here, but they weren't getting along. And what's the danger? Where are some other potential problems? You got two people that aren't getting along in the church. Does it stay that way? How about if you just ignore it Will it go away? No. You know, maybe it'll cure itself. All right. Well, what's some of the dangers? What can happen if it goes on a while?
Create a lot of stress within the church.
Oh, yeah, it creates stress for other people. Why is that? Yeah, we start picking sides. Well, did you know what they said? And this is the reasons why. And pretty soon you got the Hatfields and the McCoys or Mason-Dixon line or whatever you want to call it. Yeah, and it spills over into other people's lives. You know, it's like, well, do you know what I heard? it's like a, you know, the old proverbial snowball going down the hill. It gets bigger and bigger. May not have been that big a deal to start with, but before it's all done with, it is. Okay? And so he says, they need to be of the same mind. They need to be in agreement. Okay. So, what do you think? Let's see what we got here. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 15. Okay. 15 of us. Does that mean all 15 of us have to agree on everything? How many of you want to go to McDonald's and have an ice cream after church? Well, we get a few. Or if it was noon, hey, how many want to go to Qdoba? We'll go over there. No, it's everybody. We're not going to agree on everything, okay? And not just in where we're going to go eat, but there are other things. And again, husbands and wives, they love one another. Most of the time. Once in a while, there's a disagreement, okay? They don't always agree. How about you, the brothers and sisters, growing up? Did you always agree? Same mom and dad, under the same roof, ate the same food, went to the same school? No. You know, God gave us a mind, a will, the ability to choose. And we all don't necessarily like the same thing. And but at the same time, there are times when we need to be able to have an agreement with one another. Because you disagree with somebody doesn't necessarily mean you have to have a knockdown, drag out fight with them. It's just like, okay, they like red, I like blue, whatever. And you go on. But here he says, this is reminiscent of the command that we find there in Romans 14:19. Let us therefore follow after the things which are made for peace, and the things which wherewith one may edify one another. Okay? So, we've got a choice. We can throw gasoline on the fire, okay, make a big deal out of this thing, or we can try to figure out a way we can seek to bring about peace, okay? We can edify one another, or we can tear down one another, right? We're making choices all the time. And so how do we go about making peace? Okay, be friendly. You're going to say, is there something over on the health food store shelf that we, peace? Yeah, a really big dose of melatonin. Everybody just goes to sleep, right? Yeah, oh, I come up with this little note here. It says, deal with it. Any group of people from churches to bowling leagues, offenses will occur and pride will get hurt. The difference between churches and other groups is that pride should not be in control of the situation. Christians should be eager to forgive, forget, and go on. Many Christians lack the humility or the motivation to deal with hurts and slights in the proper way. Grudges go for years. Gossip makes mountains out of anthills. Hard feelings become pillars, just part of the architecture. No one in the church should be expected to agree with everyone else on every issue facing the group, except one, the most important, Jesus is Lord. Around a wonderful common keynote, the harmonies of thousands of different voices sing. If you hold a grudge against someone in the church, settle it today. Find common ground in Jesus and make reconciliation. Get your Christian service back to full strength. Okay? So there are ways we need to seek to bring about peace. And he says, he mentions three of them here. And there may be more than that. But one of the ways, if you got a disagreement, you know, and whether it's at home or at work or wherever, one of those ways is compromise. So if you're going to compromise, use it sometime. Compromise. Oh, I'm never going to compromise. We're not asking to compromise your faith, your beliefs, okay? But there might be some middle ground there somewhere. Everybody gives in just a little bit, okay? We don't always get what we want all the time. We compromise, and so we give in a little bit. What can we compromise on? I was just thinking that. Okay. Let's. Maureen can step in here. Okay. It's summertime. It's hot out. You know, what's the right temperature? Now, you may or may not have an actual temperature setting. I do have one of those thermometers that you stick in the meat. I got it stuck in my air conditioning vent. Just kind of so I know if it's working or not. But, you know, is everybody always like the same temperature? You know, see, I'm turning. We go on vacation, all right? I love my wife. We have a lot of fun together. But we start out, and it's hot. So I turn on the air conditioner. And you look over to Maureen, and she's got her coat or her blanket pulled up around her chin. It used to be when I'd get in the wintertime, I'd get hot in the car, you know? And there used to be, remember that little lever you could pull down here on the, and get a little vent air, you know, because she's cold, so we have the heater going, and I'm sweating, and so I'm cheating, and I'm pulling that little, well, there isn't one now. You don't get one of those. It's either on or off, all right? But, yeah, I mean, okay, so we're going to compromise. And so I stop, and I take off my jacket or whatever else I can take off, so I'm not as warm, you know, and then it's better for her. But we compromise. And so that's one way, okay? Concession, he mentions, here's another one. What do you think about concession? Is that a good one? Do we know what it is? Yeah. Okay. So Matthew's older, right? Does that mean you always give in to Matthew because he's older? You have to respect your elders? No. No, well, it is concession. It means kind of giving in. But it shouldn't be always one person. Because you come across people. Okay, been married 50 years. We've never had an argument. Okay. It's either liar, liar, you know, pants on fire. Or it's just one person. Just always gives in. Whatever you want. It's like they don't have an opinion. They just, you know, just go along with whatever the other one always wants. You know, I'm stepping on any toes here, but, you know, it's kind of like if Dad decides every time we go on vacation, he's the one who makes the decision. Nobody else has a vote. Nobody can make a suggestion. It's wherever Dad wants to go, that's fine. That's concession, okay? And that's not always a good thing. Okay, because nobody's always right all the time. And we ought to be able to choose a little bit. He says, the principle here talking about in 1 Peter 3:8, finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as the brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Okay, so if you're going to love the other person, you're going to be concerned about what they think, their feelings, okay? Be courteous. Be considerate of others. It's not just what I want, okay? Some people, they get by with this. It probably doesn't work at work, but it gets by. They get by this at home, and sometimes it gets brought into the church. It's like, you know, they're used to getting their own way all the time, and if you come up to them and don't go their way, it's kind of like kids. It's my way or the highway. You know, if you don't want to do it my way, I'm going to take my toys and go home. Well, adults, we don't have so much toys, but sometimes we'll just, and I'm not, as I don't know who gives what or anything, but I've heard of this in other churches. You know, somebody will threaten, you better do it my way or I'm going to quit giving. Like, that's going to cause the church to fold up. Well, maybe in some churches it might, if it's one guy used to call in the shots. There was a film a long time ago. I think it was a Disney film. And there was a lady. Does that ring a bell with anybody?
Disney film or a lady?
Okay, it was a Disney film, and there was a lady. She kind of run. She owned the big plant in town. She ran things, told the preacher what to preach. There you go. Okay. Yeah. And so whatever she wanted, that, you know, she would write a note, send it to him, and that's what he was supposed to preach on that Sunday. Well, some things came along. It's been a long time since I've seen the film, but yeah, you know, he decided he wasn't going to do that anymore. Well, that didn't go over real big, you know. And so, the same thing, sometimes people come to me with ideas, and they might be good or bad, but I have to just think, you know, what's best for the church, not just what you want, okay? Because some people might want to paint the auditorium pink, or let's paint it black and have some other kind of lights or something, I don't know. Well, that might be something you want to do. You go home and do that at your house, but we're not going to do it here, you know. and so, this way, we're not always giving in. I had somebody that used to attend here, and I won't say who, but they would say, I really believe this strongly. And that was supposed to tell me that I was supposed to do it the way they wanted it. You know, because they believed in it strongly, then I was supposed to have the same opinion. Well, it doesn't always work that way, okay? Again, have to think what's best for the church, not just what you want, all right? Okay, so then there's a third choice here, and there's really more than these, but he's just touching on these. Can it? Or set it, put it on the shelf. Do you ever come to... I don't know. You're just kind of banging heads, and nobody's willing to compromise or concede. We just have to agree to disagree about things, all right? We're not getting anywhere. You know, we're just going to get mad, and so maybe we better just let this thing set for a little while. Okay? Doesn't mean you just ignore it. It goes away, but maybe there's some things that, you know, just aren't going to change all that much, okay? And we probably ought to try the first couple before we just give up, okay? But there's a verse that came to my mind that he doesn't mention, at least in this part of the first lesson, is Romans 12:18. And I think we've talked about that before, but it says, if, and that's a condition, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. So, it may not be possible. You got some people out there that are just cantankerous. There's nothing you're going to say or do is ever going to change them. Okay? And they're just kind of, it's not just you. You may think it is. But then when you begin to find out, no, they kind of treat everybody that way. And they're just kind of at war with the world. Don't know what the problem is, but, you know, they're right and the whole world's wrong, okay? But the idea behind this is, as much as lieth in you, as much as depends on you, you try to make peace. Okay? You try to live peaceably with them. Right? Doesn't mean you always have to do everything their way or whatever, or you always give in. But as much as you can, try to live peaceably with them. You know, don't you be the troublemaker. Don't you be the one that's lobbing in the bombs. Okay? I mean, if we know people well enough, we after a while, you begin to know what their hot buttons is. You know, and sometimes they do this at work or whatever. Or kids do this with one another. You know, they find something that irritates them, you know. And so, okay, listen. There's nobody here with red hair. Okay, so. But those with red hair have experienced issues. You know, somebody will start calling them Carrot Top or something. And they know that just drives them nuts, you know. And they get mad and, they just, ha, 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 got you wound up and walk off, you know. Some people, they just enjoy making life kind of miserable for other people, you know. And so there's going to be some of them out there like that. You just realize it. Everybody's not going to greet you with a hug and a kiss, all right? They're just cantankerous, and you're probably not going to change it. But at the same time, you don't have to just irritate them either. Okay, so we got another one. One of the things that we can do is to eliminate conflict. Secondly, we can celebrate today, verse 4 and 5. He says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Okay, so, does it say that we are to rejoice always for everything? You just heard your mom and dad were in a car wreck and they both were killed. Are you supposed to praise the Lord? No. All right? But it's... Yeah, it says rejoice in the Lord always, okay? We ought to always be rejoicing. It doesn't say that everything is going to cause us to rejoice, everything that happens in this world, right? Sometimes people, they misread that, you know? They just think, oh, well, I'm supposed to be happy about everything. No, but he says we can rejoice in the Lord. We're not just living on our circumstances. Here he says, stress is mostly attitude. And I just saw something here tonight I thought was pretty good. It says, attitude is like a flat tire. You can't go anywhere until you change it. Okay? And sometimes, I told you, I have a BA. And that's not a degree, it's a bad attitude. And so I have to come to the Lord and say, Lord, do some work on me here. You know, I'm sourpuss or whatever. You know, you need to get a hold of me here. All right? And our attitude does make a big difference. It's the old glass is half empty or the glass is half full kind of thing. You know, it's the report card. You know, it's got 3 A's and 3 C's. Well, are we going to rejoice and be happy about the A's, or are we just going to write them and chew on them a while about the C's? You know, what is it that we're going to camp on? I mean, it doesn't mean that we're an ostrich. We can only see the positive. You know, you hear about the power of positive thinking. I don't know if he's still even around anymore. Norman Vincent Peale. Okay. But there is something about trying to be able to see some good things that's out there. You know, because the news is all, for the most part, it's all bad. You know, how many got shot over the weekend in Milwaukee or Chicago or whatever? Or how many migrants came across the border? Most of the stuff you and I we can't do anything about. But was there anything good that happened over the weekend? Well, maybe. Are we looking for it? You know, do we try to find out about it? If something good happens to us, do we tell anybody about it? Paul, he didn't know what was going to happen to him. He's in jail. There's a possibility that he might get out. But there's also a possibility he might lose his head. You know, he didn't know which way this thing was going to go. And, but rather than just looking at the circumstances, because all we, you know, you can get depressed in a hurry just looking at circumstances. You know, what do you have to look at that brings you down? The pile of bills they haven't got around to paying yet, or the balance in the checkbook, or how many miles are on your car, or you got a low tire and I don't have time to stop and get air for it. I mean, there's all kinds of things, and yet he tells us to rejoice in the Lord. Remember, he says, remember this verse there in Psalm 118:24. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Okay? God's given us another day. You know, we wake up in the morning and praise the Lord. I woke up this morning. It could be like those people in, what is it, the 186,000 that were killed overnight. They woke up dead in the morning. You know. But here he says, Paul's encouraging the Philippians to be joyful. And he says, it's not always visible. You can't always look at a person. I can't look at Matthew. Okay, now he's smiling. But that doesn't mean that he's joyful inside, okay? But it says people can observe our actions, the things that we, you know, if we're going around kicking doors open and, you know, everybody knows we're out of sorts, you know? And probably doesn't do any good. There's joy, joy, joy down in my heart. Kick the door, you know, kick the cat, you know, run over the bike. No, it's, I like this one. We're going to have to quit. But I thought, this is one we ought to think about. Did you read that one? The next paragraph, what does he say? There you go. You take a blank piece of paper and you put the one black dot on it. Which, okay, that one black dot is the problem you're dealing with today. But is that all you see? There's one black dot, and there's a million white dots of everything that's going on that's good. But all we see is the problem, you know? And it's like the 99 and 1. we can have a lot of good things, a lot of things that we could be praising the Lord for. But sometimes our whole focus just goes in on that one issue, whatever it happens to be, you know. And it's, you know, it's different for everybody. Might be that big test that's coming up tomorrow. Might be, oh, boy, they got a new computer program at work today, you know. You know how much fun those are. You know, 6 months later, we're still trying to work the bugs out of it. Or I have to work with this person this week. It's going to be the longest week of my life, you know. So, again, we have to be careful that we don't get kind of tunnel vision. And all we do is focus in on the problem. Okay, there's a lot of problems out there that are bigger than we can handle, right? Are there any bigger than the Lord can handle? No. And that's why he tells us to cast our care upon him, because he cares for us. And he can do something about it. I mean, we're not just, okay, and we've talked about this before. You got to gripe at Walmart, okay? they're cheap bags. You know, you got halfway out to the car and stuff spilled out the bottom of the bag and, you know, your eggs broke. And man, those are $8 eggs. You know, it doesn't do a whole lot of good to start chewing on the kid that's pushing the carts back in the building. You know, he can't do anything about it. But it's like, okay, we get to go to the CEO of the universe and we can talk about it. And he's willing to listen. He didn't go, oh no, not them again. No, but you know, he has the power to change things. But he also has the power to change our attitude, how we look at it. And you've heard this. I'm telling this so much, you already know. But sometimes we need to be reminded. I have to remind myself of this. You know, it's not just what happens, but it's how we respond to it. You know, there's all kinds of bad stuff that happens. You know, I mean, okay, and I use this as an illustration too sometimes. Somebody cuts you off, all right? Or zooms around you, makes life a little bit scary there for a couple of moments. You know? And you know, the thing is, nowadays you don't know if you respond wrong, they're liable to just stick a gun out the window and start shooting at you. All right, so that's a little bit of a deterrent for bad attitude. But at the same time, you know, that's how we respond. You know, we can get mad, or we can just say, "Well, thank you, Lord, that didn't take off the bumper. They got real close." But okay, we better quit here. We'll pick this up, make a mark here, so we'll pick this up here next time. But think about things that we can celebrate, things that we can be thankful for, and not get hung up just on that little black dot out there in the middle, all right? And try to be a peacemaker, not a peace breaker. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. There's a lot of time that's passed since Yodas and Syntyche were around, but people haven't changed all that much. People still have disagreements about one thing or another. Sometimes it is handled, dealt with quickly, and it never makes the page of the news. Other ones may have got blown out of proportion and ends up in Scripture being talked about. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to be one of the peacemakers, not a troublemaker. Help us, Lord, to be able to see the good things that are going on, things that we can thank the Lord for in the process, even when there's some difficult circumstances to deal with. And we thank you for the things that you'll teach us, and pray that you might help us to implement some of these into our life that can be lowering the stress in our lives. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.